Let's get to our guest, Mary Nicholas, Senior Vice President and Global Multi-Asset Portfolio Manager at Pinebridge Investments, joining us from Singapore. A lot to talk about, but I want to get your first reaction into the fact that we just saw the Bank of Korea have that smaller than expected interest rate hike, while yesterday the RBNZ had a jumbo 75 basis point hike. All of this really trying to rein in inflation. But we did see the RBNZ, for example, warn of a recession mid-next year. How are you viewing the complicated central bank picture across Asia?
Yeah, I think as you rightly said it, all the different central banks have been on a different trajectory here, largely because of what the inflation picture looks in the region. So for example, you take Singapore has been quite aggressive in moving ahead and trying to battle inflation. So they've been front-loading. So we've seen a lot of front-loading from certain central banks, as long as the inflation picture looks to be concerning. So, but now that inflation is picking up across the region, central banks will have to react. And of course, the key thing now is, especially coming from the Fed, will the Fed slow down? We've already seen a slowdown from the RBA. We've seen a slowdown from the BOC. But again, it all depends on where they are in their hiking cycle. And some have been front-loading and more aggressive than others.
So where do you see the Fed ending this aggressive tightening?
So we're looking at rates to settle around 4.75 to 5%. So we think rates will settle in that region, but they're going to stay high for a while in that inflation remains sticky. We still have inflationary pressures coming in from employment, which obviously means that it's going to last and linger a lot longer. So of course, keeping rates high is going to be the key thing to wring out inflation.
Now, I noticed that you are preferring the longer end of the curve, the 20 or 30 year. Just tell us, though, in terms of the bond route that we've been seeing, how you kind of, mitigate some of these concerns when we're looking at when we see peak inflation.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're looking at, especially on the 20-year and 30-year, and why we find value there is that we do expect a recession coming through. So we think that if we're going to see a recession, that it's going to benefit more the back end of the curve. So the valuations there look attractive, especially with the indication or with the view that we're going to see a recession maybe in the next 9 to 18 months.
Do you see a recession weighing through across the APAC as well? And what about the changing picture of China's economy potentially opening up and giving a boon then to the overall global macro picture?
Yeah, so I think if you look at Asia-Pac in general, I think that's going to be very sort of country-specific. So some countries are obviously doing better than others. And some, for example, take Japan. We haven't even seen a proper reopening or a robust reopening. Same thing with Hong Kong. So as they obviously reopen, things are going to be a lot different for their environment and for their outlook over the next 9 to 18 months. Obviously, if China opens up, let's say we're expecting maybe around, you know, the end of Q2 into Q3 of next year, that's would likely to change the picture quite a bit, especially giving a boost for Asia overall. But we are seeing some pockets from China in terms of easing monetary policy. Some of the things that they've recently announced on the property sector have also been quite positive and should see that incremental improvement in growth overall. But of course, the key factor mitigating growth is going to still be the zero COVID policy.
Yeah, and as we've been speaking all morning and to our earlier guest as well, even when you do finally see that path towards reopening, it's going to be messy, it's going to be protracted. With all of that in mind, your defensive in your portfolio, your underweight equities, where are you looking for some outperformance if you're staying selective here?
Yeah, so with the expectations that, you know, we're expecting earnings to deteriorate further, we've been looking at some sort of pockets that will manage in an environment with high inflation and in an environment where growth slows. So where we're looking at is U.S. quality, so companies that have robust balance sheets, that also have strong high ROEs. So, you know, a lot of the companies that can pass on some of the prices to their consumers. Another one that we're looking at too is what we describe as the energy evolution basket, which is a combination of utility companies that are transitioning to new energy, and then of course your traditional new energy companies. And the focus here is just that we're expecting investment obviously towards ESG and new energy capacity to increase over the next 5 years, nine to 18 month time horizon, which is what we're looking at. So obviously that move to renewables isn't going anywhere.
No, ESG sustainability certainly seems to be a top pick amongst many. If we look specifically at the property sector in China, I mean, this 16-point plan to try and prop it up, but at the same time, as we've been saying, the COVID zero policy is very much still hampering growth. And Goldman Sachs actually had a note out yesterday saying that these COVID policies are pretty much offsetting the positivity that would have come through from that support from the property sector. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's. I have a lot of sympathy for that because, again, what is weighing so much on from the COVID zero is consumer demand, is consumption. And of course, if you had a 16-point plan to propagate the property sector, that could also precipitate consumer demand and support consumer demand further. But with COVID zero, it's hard to reinvigorate consumption and consumer demand overall. So it's likely to remain sluggish until we see a change in that policy.
Always a pleasure, Mary Nicola, Senior Vice President and Global Multi-Asset Portfolio Manager at Pinebridge Investments, joining us from Singapore here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.